The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Hey guys, what's up? It's me, Sam Stein, managing editor of the Bulwark, joined by Will Sommer, who is fresh off his first edition of False Flag, what is widely considered the most critical newsletter of our time. The reviews are pouring in. The New York Times calls it indispensable. The Wall Street Journal said it is. I won't keep going. All right, Will, thanks for joining us. As always, subscribe to the feed if you're watching this. I want to talk about this first edition because I'm Jewish, and this one's about MAGA bro podcasters playing footsie with anti-Semites. It piqued my interest for obvious reasons. I guess I'm a little bit nervous about what's happening, and I don't know why it's happening, and maybe you can explain what the hell is going on here.
Yeah, so I mean, with these podcasts we're talking about, I mean, we're talking about Joe Rogan, Theo Vaughn, kind of
these are like really serious podcasts. They have big audiences.
This is the Roganiverse. And, you know, I feel like if there was one lesson from 2024, it was that, you know, however influential you think these podcasts are, you're underestimating it. And so now this idea that they have, you know, increasingly over just this month started having some anti-Semitic conspiracy theorists on as guests and people who are not hiding it. I mean, they're on the show saying,
who are these people? Let's start with that.
Sure. So one of them is a guy named Ian Carroll, who has kind of like a mechanics mustache, kind of a greasy mustache kind of guy. And he has sort of emerged on the scene.
Why is the mustache important?
I'm kind of trying to situate a sense of that he kind of looks like a Gen Z type of guy, you know?
Gotcha.
And, you know, he's sort of emerged on the scene out of nowhere, which has provoked conspiracy theories of its own.
And what are they?
Well, just that he's, you know, an FBI plant or whatever. but that he's a and, you know, him going on Rogan doesn't help.
Is he Jewish and this is all false flag?
Well, I mean, it how deep does it go?
Oh, my God.
And so in his case, he's sort of he's kind of like the Gen Z TikTok conspiracy theorist. And he kind of hits you with the like, hey, what's up, fam? Like, you know, Jews did 9/11. And so stuff like that. So he went on Rogan and promoted a lot of like Epstein stuff, saying that, you know, he said Jeffrey Epstein's a stain on the Jewish people. And so this is kind of heavy duty stuff.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I'll take that one. Jeffrey Epstein he's a stain on all people, but because he is Jewish, yes, it's not great. How do these people get into Rogan's orbit? I'm sort of curious about that. Like this guy, you'd say burst out onto the scene. Clearly, like he's viral enough, enough of an audience that Joe Rogan's like, we need to book that guy. But why?
Yeah, I mean, well, look, I mean, Joe Rogan loves conspiracy theories himself. I mean, sometimes they're pretty harmless, like about UFOs and, you know, other times, you know, he clearly loves these guys. I mean, he's chopping it up with them. He's saying, you know, right, he's referencing years of their work going back. So this isn't like a guy they just plopped in front of him. I mean, he's a fan.
And then Theo Vaughn is the other one. And I was talking to someone who, big Theo Vaughn fan, I like Theo Vaughn, but like they were very disappointed in the platforming decisions that he made. What happened there?
Sure. So Theo Vaughn, yeah, once on The Real World, now this kind of like affable, you know, I hate to say dimwit, but like sort of like
he sort of plays
a little
it.
Facey, yeah. Maybe
he's not. He's like he's the dimwit who's actually smart, right?
Yeah, like I think that's a good way to put it. He kind of like an idiot savant, perhaps.
Right. He's like, I'm just a simpleton, and I just actually had a really interesting and thoughtful and insightful comment. And it's like, oh yeah, Theo, good job.
I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah. So he had on Candace Owens, who is sort of a right-wing talker, YouTube personality.
Yes.
Who has become...
That one didn't just pop up on the scene. No.
Right. And so she has become increasingly...
That one popped off the scene.
And so last year, actually a year ago today, as we're recording this, she got the boot from the Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro's company, over her, like, really, like, she was getting very into anti-Semitism, basically. And so in this case, she goes on Theo Von and she's saying, well, Israel and the Jews are blackmailing all these American politicians, and that's why they control America. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that a few years ago, I mean, you have to go to Stormfront to find, and right. Now we're finding it on these just like mega popular podcasts.
So what's the explanation? I mean, I guess in theory, this is like, well, you know, we just went through a year or so of them being like, we should just, you know, unleash the hounds on free speech. And if you can't take it, you know, get out, you pussy. And then obviously this is what we've, you know, sowed, right? Like this is exactly the outcome. But at the same time, though, I think to a person, people probably thought, well, they wouldn't like platform anti-Semitism, right? So I don't know. Maybe that's what's happening here. Or maybe they just need to be controversial and keep stirring the pot.
Well, I have a couple theories about it. I mean, I think on one hand, it's, you know, a lot of these podcasts, really their bread and butter was sort of the blue-haired SJW outrage of the day, trans issues, right, and various things. And that was how they sort of stood out as like kind of contrarian or like a little like different.
From they were common sense, but they were just common sense telling it like it is. And maybe just raising a few questions here and there about medical science, right?
Exactly. And so now, obviously, a lot of that DEI type stuff is on the retreat. So I think they're looking for something that will continue to get attention. And the reality is it certainly did get attention. I mean, I wrote about it. A lot of people were outraged about it.
Yeah. There's backlash obviously to this.
It's interesting. Yeah. A lot of, particularly Jewish Republicans, were offended by these appearances. Jeremy Boring, the now former CEO of the Daily Wire, came out and said, you know, after the Ian Carroll interview, he took it like very seriously, which was interesting to me. And he said, you know, this is a terrible day for American Jews. You know, this is like a black mark. I'm paraphrasing here, but essentially this is a catastrophe. This idea that this anti-Semitism is getting such a wide audience.
You know, I'll speak sort of on a personal level, but I kind of in agreement, honestly. I just, I guess it doesn't seem, if you look at this from far, you're like, well, what harm is it? They're just having a conversation. Doesn't mean people have to listen to it. But I think the platforming is itself a problem, because once you inject the stuff into the mainstream, once you have the biggest podcasters in the world platforming the stuff, it invites more people to think exactly like this. And, you know, obviously anti-Semitism has been around forever. But we saw a version of this, like with the vaccine stuff, right? It was forever. It was like, well, don't platform it. Don't give it all. And then it started getting more and more platforms. And now we're in a place where vaccine skepticism is fairly mainstream. So I think there is proof to the concept that if you give things platforms, they will take grips among certain people.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think once these ideas are sort of injected into the discourse, it becomes a story about, you know, censorship or, you know.
Right. And that's the flip side, is like if they were to say, you know, if people come down hard on Rogan, all he's going to say is what? You're trying to censor conversation.
Yeah. Like, you know, we're just asking questions, and particularly like you're trying to, you know, stifle discussion about Jeffrey Epstein or, you know, what have you, or Israel, you know, and it sort of gets away from the original topic.
Can we talk a little bit about Epstein, divert a little bit, but like, there's obviously a lot of anger happening on the MAGA right over the fact that these files have not been released. I know you wrote about what happened with Bondi and Loomer, but like, what's the status here? Are they just dropping it, or are they still pounding away at Bondi for how she handled it?
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting one. I mean, so before right at the start of the administration, Pam Bondi said, I have the client list on my desk. So you would think, and you know, all the genuine Epstein experts who are around say there is no client list, or they'd be very surprised if there was. So now she's saying, well, I got the client list right here. And so you're like, oh boy. And, you know, the anticipation here is that it's, you know, the a lot of Trump supporters have been basically led to believe this is going to say like Oprah, Tom Hanks. I mean, it's going to be this kind of like enormous.
Oprah?
Yeah.
Oprah.
I was surprised too. That's going to be your reaction when the files come out. Yeah.
Oprah.
Okay. Yeah. And so they think it's going to be all, you know, you see these, the fake flight manifest circulating. And it's like, well, that guy would have been 8 years old with this, you know, it's like that guy wouldn't have been palling around
some
with
of
Jeffrey
these, some of these don't compute to me.
But yeah. And some like, you know, like some liberal, you know, 20 something. So they do this. And
like Timothy Chalamet. It's like, no, it doesn't make sense.
And so of course the binder, you know, so basically this fascinating thing where these right-wing influencers were going to the White House on an unrelated, you know, thing. And Pam Bondi reportedly was like, this is my chance to get some clout. You know, she does this. As far as what's going on with it now, I mean, she said, Cash, you know, I want the FBI files on my desk that, you know, less than 24 hours from now. And that was 2 weeks ago at this point. So, you know, as far as we know, I mean, I kind of think, can I speculate a little bit? It's some interesting speculation.
Yes, of course you can.
So I
what's
think
your speculation?
My speculation is, and this is maybe like a little like too like 5D chess.
Just don't get us sued. That's all.
Well,
speculate responsibly.
But right? But I think the Trump administration is, and as we're talking here, the JFK files are supposed to come out today.
Right, right. This is, for just to be clear, 4:30 p.m. We've been promised the JFK files today.
Yes.
It's getting a little late. Go ahead.
And so I think the JFK files are kind of like a distraction from the Epstein thing, in that like they're, because Trump's saying, you know, the stuff people are most excited about is the JFK files. And that might be a generational divide as well, where I think perhaps boomers, this is kind of like the JFK assassination looms larger. But I think there is kind of this thing where it's like, well, I don't know. We do have the JFK files, you know, we can drop
Trump
those.
Has never been fully committal on the Epstein stuff.
Well, why would ever. He be?
He's friends with Epstein, yeah. And so the idea that he was always like, yeah, we're going to release JFK, MLK, RFK. And we're like, and?
Yeah, we're going way back. The Teapot Dome, we're blowing it all up.
And? Keep going, sir. And so, yeah, but so I guess it's the whole sort of like, do they just fall for it? And like, does it go away? Because this has happened several times now. And you know, Dave Portnoy was talking about it. It always seems to be a shit show when they promise some Epstein information doesn't like materialize. But in this case, Loomer seemed really aggrieved and angry and was on like a real rampage against Bondi. I guess at some point you just tire out and you just leave it alone. But is there any sense that that's happened, that they're just ready to move on?
I think they're still there, and I think that, like, you know, if another week passes or something, I think we'll get some more outrage. I mean, you know, one of the
how things, much outrage can you continue to muster over this? It's like 3 weeks. Is that sustainable?
One of the complications is after the original Pam Bondi release, one of these right wing figures said this was a huge debacle. For one thing, Trump's name was in the files.
Did he not know? There's literally video evidence out there. Come on, man. You got to keep up. All right. Last bit. Tim Pool.
Yes.
You wrote about this. Skate park in West Virginia. Very hip. Very cool. But it's not actually going well. So what? Explain exactly what's happening.
Yeah. So this has been a passion project of mine for a little while. So Tim Pool, very popular right-wing YouTuber.
Yes. You might know him from the beanie.
The emblematic beanie. And he has like some compounds out in West Virginia and Maryland. And he's also very into skateboarding. And so 2 years ago, it's just like concrete. It's like a concrete slab in this town called Martinsburg, West Virginia, that he lives near. And the skaters there it was basically abandoned property that they skated on. And Tim Pool said, cool, I'll offer $20,000 so we can have a contest. And they said, oh, Tim Pool, we want nothing to do with you.
What kind of contest are you talking about? Just like, who's the better skater?
Who's like, who does the sickest, you know, ollies
tricks,
or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to get roasted by a skateboarding team.
I'm not pretending to know anything about this shit. Okay.
So they said, Tim, you know, we don't want to associate our skateboarding with you. And so then he secretly went and buys the land. And now I will say, he, to his credit, he sort of seemed to be more interested in co-opting the local skate scene, because he's like, I'm going to build the sickest skate park ever. You guys are all welcome. And now cut to now, where he says, I'm surrendering the skate park to the city. You know, the
Did
city
he build
wants
anything
it.
Or no?
No. And so he claims anti-Tim Pool vandals were destroying it. And so basically the city took it over. The city says they don't know what he's talking about. And I guess the final beat here is that he claims he was accosted at Cracker Barrel. He said he was going to get catfish. And he walked in and someone said, you stole my skate park. So look, I mean, things are heating up.
Do we know which Cracker Barrel?
I assume the Martinsburg Cracker Barrel.
Did you call up the Martinsburg Cracker Barrel?
I should have. Was there a showdown at your Cracker Barrel?
Yeah, I would call them up and just say, one, do you serve catfish?
Mm-hmm.
Then we would, that could just break the story wide open right there. Two, are you aware of a man wearing a beanie who got accosted in your Cracker Barrel? And if so, can you provide any videotape? That is a wild story. Cracker Barrel, I don't hand on Cracker Barrel. I'm all for it, but I've never seen someone get accosted over a skate park.
It is just, it's just funny. It's a funny phrase. And when he's saying, and why do I know, what is the problem here? Someone accosted me at the Cracker Barrel. You expect someone maybe about 40 years older to be saying that.
I'm not going to hand a Cracker Barrel. I like the chicken and dumplings. All right. Will Sommer, doing God's work. The New York Times review was fantastic. Can't wait for the New Yorker to do its review of this new newsletter. Everyone should subscribe to it. It's False Flag. Everyone should subscribe to our YouTube page. It's the best in the biz, in my opinion. Thank you for tuning in. Talk later.
Hey. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.